biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
1, 2, get out of the corner.
4, corner buckle.
Welcome to another edition of 4 Corner Buckle. I'm DJ Impact. Four people's gonna try to get me in the corner. After the ref hits the 5 count, someone's getting disqualified, and I'm on to the next. It's a fun new show, and yes, you can be a part of it also. Either email us at VegasBadBoys, that's with the Z, of podcasting, at gmail.com. Or slip into our DM. Better yet, leave a comment when we post about the show on our social media platform. Do you really think you got what it takes to put me in the corner? Well, let's just see. I want a clean fight by you two. You ready? And remember, I need you to stay out of the corner and off the buckle. All right, so with us here, we have the Stormman Mormon. He's Vegas Bad Boys, Utah's number one listener. Now, he's going to try to also put me in the corner. Stormman Mormon, go.
DJ Impact, not only is the Stormman Mormon going to put you in the corner, I'm about to take you to church, so you better get ready right now.
Well, let's do it. I'm ready.
So let's check it out. WWE Women's Tag Team Division.
Yeah.
Something that started out as a great idea right at the peak and culmination of the Women's Revolution.
Yeah.
Retiring the Divas Division, you know, making it impactful, and then not to mention, hey, we got the women headlining WrestleMania last year.
Right.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. It has fallen off the face of the earth now, and it's time for them to retire the division.
Oh.
Cut ties with it. Get rid of it.
Wait, hold up. Wait. You're giving credit to the Women's Revolution here as this taking place when the entire idea of the women's title come about, and now you just want to kill it because you're not enjoying it? That don't make sense to me, man.
Oh, I got you. Let me give you a little history lesson here, DJ Impact.
Okay.
So check it. So the WWE Women's Tag Team Division, this is not the first go-around that they've had this.
Okay, that's true.
And we know with Vince McMahon, if it's not going to make money, he's going to cut ties real quick. So previously, right. Back in the day, 1983 to 1989, the WWF's Women's Tag Team Division retired, cut off on February 14th, 1989, Vince McMahon's first Valentine's Day massacre. You know, Glamour Girls with Leilani Kai and Judy Martin, done. So, fast forward now. Now we got, you know, Vince McMahon giving a Christmas gift to everybody.
Right.
Christmas Eve 2018, he announced the Women's Tag Team Division. We go to February 2019, the Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
With a team which this whole division was made for, the Boston Hug Connection.
Yep.
They won the title.
Right.
Okay, we're thinking it's gonna be good, right?
Yeah.
It's gonna be on. Who had the shortest reign of all five champions in the Women's Tag Team Division up to date? The Boston Hug Connection at 49 days. The team that this was meant for dropped the titles to the Iconics, a team that they were as active as champions, they were as enjoyable as they are tolerable to listen to, which was not the point. They rarely ever defended the titles. They made a mockery at the division.
Okay, yes. I can easily say the same as far as when it comes to the WWE Universal title, right? Barely shows up on TV. You know, he shows up whenever he shows up, and that's it. In other words, the titles don't always have to be defended all the time. What we like to see is sure, but you know what? Sometimes it doesn't have to be. The Iconics were great. I love them. I hate the fact that I don't see them anymore. You know, I thought they were great champions. I think Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, I mean, they're now two times, but look, they were great too. And the Kabuki Warriors, come on, man. The tag teams we have today doesn't even compete to what we have back when they ran the first time around. And you know what? Because there's so much going on right now with so many wrestlers, you can have titles that can just kind of get put to the side for a moment. And when they do come back, I think we appreciate it a little bit more. Would you not say?
Okay, I feel you on that with the titles being defended as much, hence the Universal title, but there's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar brings ratings. He brings attention. You know, he puts asses in the seats, as Vince McMahon would say. There, you know, as much as I love the women's division, there is no tag team that is doing that. Now let's fast forward a little bit more. Okay. So Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross beat the Iconics. Thank goodness. They, in their first run, had the second shortest reign, 62 days.
Right.
Kabuki Warriors, awesome. We finally got a title on Asuka. Like,
yeah.
Why has she not had a SmackDown or Raw women's title? So we finally get her on there, and also for, at the time, what was considered the main roster between the two big brands, you know, we got Kairi Sane getting some attention as well.
Right.
Okay, I remember back in the day, WCW, as a kid, you know, storyline, the title has to be defended every 30 days or the champion has to forfeit the title.
Okay.
Tell me, how often do you really remember the Kabuki Warriors defending the title? Outside of TLC back in December when they beat Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. And then between that and then WrestleMania, where they dropped the title, where was the belt being defended? Like, they've made the, you know, with the inconsistency, it's become irrelevant now.
I think during that time, I mean, Kairi Sane at one point got injured during that entire time that they had ran it. And again, I don't think that their title is important. I don't necessarily see that they need to defend that title all the time. It's just not necessary. You know, you got so many other storylines, so many other titles that they have running. Something's going to have to take a backseat. And as far as I'm concerned, at the moment, as they're still building the women's tag division, they could take a little bit of a backseat. You know, you're not going to have them just you know, go through and having this the same old sort of matches all the time, and then we get eventually irritated because they're defending it, and yet they just keep fighting the same people over and just keep winning all the time as well. That kind of gets boring. So hey, I'm all with it. I think the women division is as strong as it ever can be. Could there be some other tag teams that can pop up and show that they can defend against the champions? Sure. But again, I think it's still a work in progress, but I don't see it being weak, and definitely not removed and taken out from WWE. Storm and Mormon, what's going on here, man?
All right, DJ Impact, let me give you some food for thought, too. So when they first initialized it, they had it at the Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
They had, you know, SmackDown and Raw, and they said, this will be defended against both brands. Boston Hug Connection wins, and they said, hey, we're also going to take the title of NXT. They did make a couple of appearances.
Yeah.
But in the year now that's happened, when have we seen the WWE Women's Tag Team titles defended on NXT? Like, they got a lot of great women. I mean, we all know that the women in NXT are better than the women on Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
So I would love to see, you know, Io Shirai and, you know anybody else to tag team with her to take on those titles. Like, that would be good. Like, I'd love to see the Kabuki Warriors against some of the women on NXT. Same thing with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Like I said, we've had that for over a year now where they talk about it, but never did anything with it. Between the three brands, plenty of great women wrestlers. Why not make it happen? They're not. So either make it happen, or once again, Vince McMahon, if he's not making money, Lightning will strike twice. Just like 1989, they will cut ties in that division.
Well, you know what? We're just going to have to see how all of this come together, because I see where you're going with, you know, they do have, if you combine all the brands together, I'm sure they can definitely create, you know, have other tag teams that they can put together and they can defend it against. But look, Io right now, she's about to go up against a new NXT champion. You know, she's got bigger things on her plate right now, so she ain't got time to be tagging with other people right now, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying, but we definitely can't dismantle this division right now. It's just that, should there be a little bit more of a focus? Yeah, I'll give you that for sure. Definitely not dismantle it. I definitely enjoyed it. Hey, I was happy to see Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross become two-time. Would have been great if they could have, you know, pumped that up a little bit more as two-time and three-time and four-time, you know, like everyone else do. But it's all right. It's a learning experience for them. But you just don't kill it right now, is all I'm saying.
Well, here's the one thing that I will say, in fact.
All right.
With, like, speaking of Alexa Bliss, I love Alexa Bliss. She has been nearly irrelevant until the tag team division with Nikki Cross after she came back from her concussion injuries. And we're talking about somebody who would defend the SmackDown women's title, defend the Raw women's title at WrestleMania. She gets those massive concussions, is off for a long time, almost been irrelevant. So I'm happy that it keeps, you know, people like her, puts a focus on Oscar right now. But once again, don't call them champions if they're going to be going over 30 days, over 60 days, not have a title defense. It kind of, you know, makes the belt irrelevant at that point. Just have some tag team matches at that point. Don't call them champions.
All right, Stormy, you know, we'll leave it there, man. I don't know if you took me to church, man. I maybe drove past your Sunday school, but I don't think you took me to church. We'll just leave it with there.
Hey, in fact, Joker, not only did I take you to church, I'm sending the missionaries over to give you some more lessons.
I want a clean fight by you two. You ready? And remember, I need you to stay out of the corner and off the buckle. All right, here. So we have Ben here, one of the listeners of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, and he's also here going to try to put me in the corner. Ben, what's up?
Yeah, I want to talk about Money in the Bank. I'm reading that it's going to be canceled, and I don't think it should be. I think it should happen from the Performance Center or someplace else.
Wait. You're telling me you think that Money in the Bank should still happen? Have you not been seeing kind of what's been taking place lately on TV without an audience?
Yeah, I have. But after WrestleMania, which kind of set the bar for, hey, we can actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason why not to push forward.
Now, I'm assuming, was very entertained then from WrestleMania. Were you entertained both nights with that?
Yeah, for the most part, it was a really good show. For the wrestling portions, was better than they've done in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd, and then, you know, the Firehouse Funhouse and the Boneyard match were both different and entertaining. So you know, they obviously got the viewers. People were obviously happy with it, and right now there was no sports going on. Why cut this out too?
That's true, but they've always known to put very good matches on, let's say, against live audiences. And outside of WrestleMania, which there's reviews on it, definitely when it comes to certain matches, do you think it is worth still risking, or why even risk to still try to put on a pay-per-view that is almost kind of becoming what you've seen just on regular TV? I mean, why even risk that? Why not just kill the whole idea? I want the whole idea that WrestleMania shouldn't happen in the first place. They should have just wiped it all off, you know? So why would you think Money in the Bank, of all places, should still happen?
Well, really just it comes back from WrestleMania. I didn't really care one way or another, and then I saw it. I was like, okay, this can work. Right now, we have nothing to do. This is entertainment. We need entertainment. And if you can't get all the top superstars, cool. I know a million different, you know, local stars who are at the top of their game just mm-hmm. itching for a chance. You know, WWE could go out and say, hey, we're going to give some local talents an opportunity. Let's see you perform. You know, we'll put who we can get from, you know, our main thing into the Money in the Bank matches. And then let's just fill this time. Let's entertain people. I mean, that's what WWE does
best. Is there such thing as bad entertainment?
Yeah, but
I mean,
right now, any entertainment is good entertainment. I'm sorry.
Okay. So they put on Money in the Bank now because the idea now they're saying is that they should cancel it, which, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they should just keep putting on just matches that doesn't make any sense until they could get back up and going. And who knows when that's going to happen. But as far as I'm concerned, until they know, they should still just continue to just put on mediocre matches until we can get back to what we can really, 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 really enjoy. But you're on...
I think it'd be interesting to see someone cash in Money in a Bank at the Performance Center. Or, you know, someone's backyard, wherever WWE ends up having to put a ring up because of whatever local laws.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be interesting. I guess if someone did try to cash it in, there's a good chance that they probably would hear their footsteps coming because it's that quiet inside of the empty buildings that they're in. I don't know, man. I wish from this point they would just come up with just ridiculous, stupid sort of pay-per-view names. Just rechange. Now, I'm not saying when I say rechange them, I'm not saying to get rid of Money in the Bank, but you know, call it something else. Because this is something else. I don't know. Call it COVID-19 in the bank. I don't care. Okay.
Well, I was actually thinking they should bring back that in-your-house gimmick for this.
Oh, okay.
I mean, find a state where they can still do stuff.
Right.
Man, yeah. Like, you know, set something up. It would be interesting. You don't have to have storylines in. Just
right.
In your house. You know, we're giving you something, which is my whole point of everything is right now we need something to keep us from going stir crazy.
That's true. But see, they're still in storyline mode right now. And because of that, you know, it's very difficult to sort of suspend the, you know, reality, which is what we do when we like to watch wrestling, when you're not getting what you're used to out of it. It just seems awkward. It just seems weird. It's hard to accept
that's
the new normal.
That's a different topic altogether. Mm-hmm. If they're still in storyline mode. You know, I mean, obviously the landscape's changed. They should just go back to, you know, just the random stuff, and even Money in the Bank could be that. You know, you could be like, okay, these superstars showed up. We're drawing names out of the hat. These are your Money in the Bank competitors. Not, they've got a chance for the belt later. You know?
Hmm.
I mean, make it interesting.
Yeah. But the bottom line is that you still think that no matter what, it should still happen.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't know, man. Well, we may have to agree, disagree on this because as far as I'm concerned, I just say I'm done with all the pay-per-views. I just say forget it. Just go out there and you know, create a shit show. And, you know, we'll just sit and laugh at that. I mean, AEW did exactly that this past Wednesday. It was a shit show. I don't know what I was watching. I didn't understand what was going on. You know, they normally have been doing a little bit better in that, but I don't know what happened. So, you know what? I'll accept that. I'll give them a pass on that. You know, so I want WWE to do the same thing. Don't go on with this show. Just cancel it. Get rid of it. Create a different name. Let's go on and move on. Boom.
I want a clean fight by you two. You ready? And remember, I need you to stay out of the corner and off the buckle.
All right here. So right now I have Cody on the line, who's one half of the Unprofessional Wrestle Podcast. You all can hear that on all platforms. Anytime you want to hear something that's great, entertaining, make sure you download the Unprofessional Wrestle Podcast again with Cody. But right now, he's going to try to put me up against the corner. Cody, what you got?
So, thanks, DJ, for allowing me to come on.
No doubt.
My big thing is I want to know why Ciampa and Gargano didn't headline a WrestleMania match. So my big thing is we've been building this storyline for 3 years between these two, and we let it take place in an empty arena.
Okay, wait. But why would they be on WrestleMania when they're NXT?
Well, they keep saying all these brands are the same thing, so if you're going to have your showcase of the Immortals and you let Rhea Ripley and Charlotte have time for the NXT Women's title, why don't you have your two biggest names in NXT, the guys you have built around for the last 3 years, be on the show?
Okay, so I get that. But, you know, Charlotte, she is in many ways beyond NXT. I mean, yes, they gave her the NXT belt, but let's be real. I mean, she is the Raw Women Champion, the SmackDown's Women Champion. You can just run down her list of championships. She is the representation of the WWE brand. NXT is how she started. She's just going right back over there to re-dominate the NXT brand. And to be honest, probably helped some of the NXT ratings as well. So it makes sense for why they do what they did there. But as far as Gargano and Ciampa, I mean, it only perfectly makes sense for them to be on a takeover-like event for NXT. How would you disagree with that?
So my big thing is why didn't we save it for a takeover event? And why did we allow it to be a Wednesday night show? Was it a ratings play to try and finally beat AEW?
Well, Well, in theory, they never had a takeover like it was planned. In many ways, it was like a takeover. In fact, when I just watched the show, I thought during the women's ladder match, they actually had the takeover logo on the screen. So I think in many ways, they were kind of playing it up as a sort of a takeover slash NXT version of a show. But more than likely, yeah, it probably was to get an advantage in the ratings and to put on some really good TV, which has been kind of tough lately.
Right. So my thing is I think they lost the luster by not waiting on this storyline. This storyline has already been halted and stopped for 3 years now because of injuries or whatever else. So why didn't they just wait till the next big takeover event when they had that crowd? Did that match lose?
Oh, they don't need the crowd for that.
Because they didn't have the crowd.
I think ever since we just...
See, and I disagree.
Well, look.
I think they needed the crowd.
Okay, well, we just got through WrestleMania and there was no crowd. So what would you say to that?
Right. So I think the matches that were filmed inside the PC lacked. Most of the workers came out on top, but they had to do a lot of cinematic stuff to make that WrestleMania good.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I'll give you that as well. But I mean, if what I'm saying is if at WrestleMania they're not going to have a crowd and the show became what it was, you know, they were going to pretty much do the same thing. I mean, they only could do the same thing with NXT. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would almost kind of beg to argue that what I saw from NXT this past Wednesday, in many ways, could have been a little bit more entertaining than what I watched on some of WrestleMania. I mean, if you ask me. So I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I think they, for the cream, as Macho Man says, the cream always rises to the top, right? So I think during this time, you have seen the best workers in the business rise up. And the guys that know how to work are the ones that are really rising above this. And the guys that are just... I mean, to coin a phrase from Jim Cornette himself, spot monkeys, those are the guys that are going to drop and not be as efficient.
I will say, though, that I definitely enjoyed the match with Gargano and Ciampa. I've always enjoyed all of their matches. This was a great way to sort of end that entire feud between them. I love when Triple H said he's going to go find an empty building. Okay. I love that line. He's going to go find an empty building. And he actually found an empty building, which in many ways looked like it could have been attached to the regular Full Sail building that they do their NXT shows. But I could be wrong on that. I don't know. I was just kind of trying to look at the outside of where this empty building could be. But overall, the match was, it was great. And I don't think it needed Mania at all. I think it was perfect for the show. And if you look what they were up against, if you happen to catch the so-called competition, they couldn't touch it. So I think they did what they were supposed to do.
I want a clean fight by you two. You ready? And remember, I need you to stay out of the corner and off the buckle.
We have here George on the line. He's actually one of our listeners, the Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. And he's going to try to put me in the corner with Hogan and Cena talk. Okay, let's do this, George. What you got?
So here we go. Because I think guys like John Cena gets like a bad rap. I mean, he's somebody who's polarized. He's loved. He's hated. He's, you know, admired by so many fans all over the world.
Right.
But I think, he gets a bad rap because when you think of greatest of all time, and I'm talking echelon, like greatest, elite, okay, pinnacle. To be honest with you, I think Sean's number one. I think Rock's number two. And then just on that list, on that top 10 list is Hulk Hogan. Don't get me wrong.
He's
on that list.
Right.
I just think in every single way, John Cena should be above Hulk Hogan. Because you think of everything that Hulk Hogan has done in his career, John Cena has done better. Don't get me wrong. Hulk Hogan, you know, he's what got me into wrestling. So right. Does that mean that the person that got you into wrestling should always be number one?
Absolutely.
Like, no, you
absolutely.
Give everybody else a chance.
Absolutely.
Everybody else a chance.
Hogan.
To see if they can rank above that
Hogan
person.
Hogan should. And listen, I'm no fan of Hogan, all right? I'm not a fan of his at all. But he is the reason, one of the main reasons why we all got into, because we're about the same age. Okay, so we're the reason why that we got into wrestling, watching Hogan do things that we thought was impossible, like picking up 100%. Andre the Giant. I mean, you know, I have yet to see Cena do anything like that. Now, in the ring, yeah, he's a great talker, but if he's not moving his hand back and forth talking about you can't see him, then all he's doing is some shoulder punch across the ring, and he wins that way.
Wait, hold on. You're going to tell me that a hand across the face, you're going to tell me a hand across the face is not equivalent to a hand on the ear? You're joking, right?
You know what? Maybe the idea is that Cena just didn't sell it as good as Hogan. Okay. Bottom line.
I mean,
let's look at the drag. I mean, you can look at a leg drop, which, by the way, you know, you don't see a ton of leg drops much anymore. But that Hogan leg drop right there, you know, when you get that, that right there is going to be the end. Okay. And I don't know, Cena's hit with his finisher. What was it called? It was A5, A1. What is it?
the attitude adjustment.
Whatever. You know, it's. A slam. It's basic, was what I'm saying. I don't believe it. Maybe because now, as an adult, I look at it and I go, that doesn't look believable. But as a child, watching Hogan, that leg drop looked pretty damaging. I think.
No, of course. Yeah. But also, too, like, listen, like, WrestleMania 6.
Okay.
Like, all my friends wanted Ultimate Warrior to win.
Okay.
All of them.
Yeah.
I wanted Hogan to win. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm a biggest Hulkamaniac. But I got to think, like, subjectively, not subjectively, but just overall landscape. Yeah, we were kids. We loved it. But that doesn't take away the opinion of all the kids that love John Cena. And as a John Cena gets loved by kids, but I know a lot of adults that get loved by John Cena. Like,
well, you know a lot of women. You know a lot of women that like John Cena. Yeah, you don't know any guys.
True.
Yeah,
that's true. but you think of everything that Hulk Hogan did.
Yeah.
John Cena does it better.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Like you think of all the name me five great matches that Hulk Hogan has had. Ultimate Warrior, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Savage from WrestleMania 5, I'll give you that. But name me three more.
Well, listen.
Exactly.
Here's the deal. I mean, it's hard to go through all of Hogan's matches. I mean, I think he was always 12. He was a 12-time champion when you combine it with WCW WWE. You know, so he's had a lot of great matches, I think, there. But, I mean, you know, what would be your top five greatest of John Cena matches?
You're only telling me, you're just giving me five, that's it?
You can find more than five? Oh, my.
Okay. We got John Cena, 2011 CM Punk, right? Money in the Bank. And first off, pretty much the last four Cena matches that he had with CM Punk on TV were fantastic. Whether it's SummerSlam 2011, whether it's the Monday Night Raw from February 2013, that match is one of the best Raw matches of all time. You think of that U.S. Open Challenge. You look at U.S. Open Challenge, right?
Yeah.
That was Cena probably at the late 30s, right?
Right.
Toward the tail end of his career when he was starting to slow down. He was having the best matches every single week with Cesaro, with guys like even like Zack Ryder, with Cody Rhodes. Like, you're giving Cena, guys like Cena is working with guys like, you know, that are, we know now as Mick Carters, but giving them their absolute best matches. Hogan didn't even give those guys a chance. Hogan never worked with a Rick Martel later on in his career. Hogan never worked with a Tito Santana. Hogan was too busy working and sticking the joint out with guys like, no disrespect, to Piper, to Flair, like to all these guys that had no business.
Hogan was the top guy. He's the top guy. He shouldn't be messing around with it.
Cena was the top guy? But Cena was also... Cena is so untouchable.
Cena's
Teflon. And the fact that he
gave
back...
The only reason why Cena...
guys.
Listen, the only reason why Cena in the first place is 16 time is because, listen, he was bringing in the money. But that doesn't mean that because he was just awesome in the ring for the reason why he became 16 times. He was great for how with being great on the microphone. Again, the women loved him. The kids loved him. I mean, he was one of the top make a wish, you know.
But he's not one up. He is the top.
He is the top. And I give him that. I give him props for that. Okay. But it's not because of his in-ring ability that he became 16 times. Not even close. I'll give him a few of them.
Hogan's in-ring ability was any reason why he became a 12-time? Hogan's in-ring ability? Mr. I need to have creative control in WCW?
Hey, listen. When he was with NWO, okay, that was some of the best TV, was it not?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. So, I mean, he knows a little bit about what's going on, you know, when it comes down to the business. Now, I know he's kind of messed up here and there, but overall, the idea of putting Cena above Hogan, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm going to let
you want to talk numbers? Let's talk numbers real quick. I'm just going to say this. Hogan.
I don't have my calculator.
Brought a lot of new fans. Hogan brought in all new fans in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
But Cena, since there's nobody else there, Cena brought a whole new level of mainstream, because all this stuff that we're seeing with WWE in the mainstream in the last 15 years, guess who was number one at the helm? John Cena.
Well, the only thing I can say about that is, if that was the case, that John Cena was just the top during that time, then I guess WWE didn't have any faith in any other wrestlers, because there was a lot of other wrestlers that could have played that role that Cena played, but they just continued to throw it on to him, you know. And so,
not as good as Cena.
Well, of course. You know,
you're going to tell me that Batista's got the personality of a John Cena? You're going to tell me that Randy Orton, Mr. Everybody thinks he's only motivated when he's not bored, has the personality of a John Cena?
Look, I think they are motivated. Again, you're looking because how he is when it comes to being on the mic. Okay? But when it comes to selling the moves, I think any of the moves that Randy Orton does, yeah, that to me is pretty believable. Batista, that to me it was pretty believable. But what John Cena was doing, it was not believable. You know?
Oh,
yeah, it's just kiddie, man. It's just very, very, it's just for my 5-year-old, you know? And he's got all the John Cena gear and all of that, man, with his lime green and lime orange and all those ridiculous colors that just makes no sense. You know? You know, this would be one of those things where I have to table or agree to disagree. But bottom line, I want you to go back, do some homework, all right? Look at everything that Hogan did. Then go back and look at what Cena did. And I think you're going to come back and say, you know what, Impact? I apologize. I was wrong.
All right, we'll talk again after I do that homework then.
Perfect. All right, folks, thanks for listening to this edition of Four Corner Buckle. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, all you got to do is hit us up on our email, VegasBadBoys@gmail.com. Also, you can hit us up on all our social media platforms, IG, Facebook, Twitter, and leave a comment. Let us know how we can reach you, and I'll get back to you. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay out of that corner. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.